Blog Talk Radio.
Back again for another episode, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel and Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. I'm also very thankful for this opportunity to be back with you here again to speak these very precious words. It's these very, very precious words the Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people. And I thank the Most High, my brothers and sisters, indeed, for every ear that He brings near, and I welcome you to the show. Well, brothers and sisters, no question about it. Much needs to be dealt with in the society in which we live, if it is going to ever become what the Most High, from the beginning, has promised and intended. I can only tell you that the Most High has told me from the very beginning, from when He first began to awaken me to His cause. He told me that I, for His cause, have some very important, yes, some very important things for Him that I must do. He told me because of what I must do, He said to me that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends, yes, some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing for Him that which He has asked of me, commanded, He said to me that I would have His protection. It's His protection and His guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. Yes, and indeed, my brothers and sisters, I am utmost thankful. Well, the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has directly told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, that indeed I must tell you things. That men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. Therefore, it's a very important thing, surely, then, that I must speak these things to you. I will only tell you that the scriptures tell you again and again, for those who will examine them closely. The scriptures tell us again and again that there are very important truths, very important truths contained in the scripture, that none is to expect, or none should wisely expect the rulers of this earth to tell you. For were they to tell you, my brothers and sisters, they would expose themselves and all their treacherous schemes against the will of one. I want you to consider. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters. We were told, John 1:1 relates the importance of understanding this concept, that from the very beginning, the Most High declared what is his plan, the foundation upon which he has established his all his expectations. It's a plan that is a constant throughout eternity. We can expect, my brothers and sisters, that even if the whole world be deceived or is blinded against discerning this plan, did you hear me? That if a whole world is blinded against discerning this plan, still yet will Yah, the Almighty, be true. So blessed are they who will understand, my brothers and sisters, that the scriptures tell us well, if we're ready to understand it, that real faith, true faith in Yah, does not come by hearkening to the varying ideals of men. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you this. Messiah himself said that many things that I long to tell you, which could not grasp them yet, lest the Holy Spirit ultimately raise conscience to comprehend. What does this mean? It means that ultimately, my brothers and my sisters, faith, saving faith, discerning beyond all the various contentions and misopinions of man, must come by hearing. And if those scriptures were rightly translated in the context of all that is said before them, men would understand those scriptures really mean that faith comes by hearing a word from Yah. What must be overcome, therefore, is all the variant misconceits. I said what must be overcome, then, is all the variant misconceits this world has in so many ways been beguiled to call wise, while still in so many ways, my brothers and sisters, far from the knowledge of what indeed the Most High would accept as an acceptable offering in the attainment of truth. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Think about it. The only offering the Most High will accept of mankind is that all should come together, discerning indeed all that is the true faith, social coalescence, they'll bring forth a kingdom of peace. Whoever has not the orientation necessary, the sense of what is divine law necessary, that all might comprehend as consecrated unto him, was the height, depth, and breadth of divine understanding, that they might be true to one Most High, that one faith, one baptism, one concept of what is righteousness transcendent all the miscreant perceptions of man. Whoever does not have that orientation, they might have peace with Yah, peace with his people. Scriptures tell us in Romans 2nd. Scriptures tell us in Hebrews 3rd to 4th. Most High has sworn that whoever does not discern his ways, the ways of his kingdom, shall not enter into his rest. Romans 2, you die without the law, without discerning what is the law of his kingdom. You perish without that law. We were told in advance, my brothers and sisters, Micaiah 5:14 through 24, that Israel was to show forth the light of what is divine will unto what is will be a divine kingdom established upon this earth. And by no means as a light to the world, by no means ignoring what's contained in the law and the prophets. He said, Messiah himself said, don't let anybody beguile you or trick you into thinking that he in any way sought to cast aside the truth of the law and the prophets. He said, did not come to abolish any of these things, but as the one who comes to, according to the prophet Isaiah, one who comes to perform and bring to bear all that is divine pleasure, how could he speak against the law and the prophets when he is the one who comes to bring to bear, even to complete all things the Most High has foretold to the glory of Yah? That simply does not make sense, my brothers and sisters. It simply does not follow any line of reasoning. Over and over again, the scriptures speak about the Savior, the one who the Most High sends for the express purpose to perform all that is his counsel. That means all that he has foretold, all that he has spoken. Again, in the Law and the Prophets, Acts 3:18 through 23, says Messiah comes. Specifically in the scriptures, it says it is indeed Yeshua. It says he comes to bring for restitution. How about remembrance? Restoration to mind, even to bring to bear all things the Most High has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began, to complete all things in him. Well, my brothers and sisters, there's a serious need. Yes, there is. There's a serious need to discern all that the scriptures have said concerning the one who comes to perform all that is divine pleasure, to bring to bear all that is his counsel, to cast aside all the temptations of man. Again, my brothers and sisters, perform all that is divine counsel, that there might be an end to this Babylonish confusion, debate, doubt, misallegiance that exists in this world. When we understand, according to the prophecies, the one that will do this, from all the Most High has declared unto an absolution, even though if a whole world be deceived or blind to what the Most High has said must be, he said he will, Most High will still be in all things, to all things he has spoken true. The Romans 2:29 through round 3 and 4, and understand. My brothers and sisters, the one who must bring all these things to bear, that they eternally henceforth be so, must be the Messiah. And quite frankly, the prophecies tell us in advance that the rulers will not, I repeat, the prophecies tell us in advance that the rulers will not speak in all things true to the eventuality of the prophets. Because quite frankly, what is the gospel? He said, go forth and teach all nations. How about convert all nations? Teaching them everything. Teaching them even to do everything that he had commanded. As the one whom the Most High had given all authority, all the precepts of the Holy Kingdom, the precepts of peace in the Holy Kingdom. He said, go forth and teach all nations these things, that all might be converted, even after the will of one, that there might be peace. And there shall be, my brothers and sisters, according to that truth, peace. For the judgment that comes, most have not considered it, but the judgment, my brothers and sisters, is ultimately unto the eradication, bringing an end to all that will be contentious against what the Most High declared from the beginning. So blessed are they who realize that the grace and the gift of the Most High is a righteous understanding of that which the Most High from the beginning foretold, foreordained, forsworn, as an irrevocable truth. It must be the common expectation of all his people. But how is it, my brothers and sisters, that the world in which we live in is vastly divided, so many prideful in their self-righteousness, arrogance, my brothers and sisters, wrought of upholding deception? What else do you think has created all these divisions? How, my brothers and sisters, shall all these differences be? Man having so many differences, perspective as to how to prepare for the kingdom of God. But that in the massive confusion, there is so many differing perspectives, supposed vision, divisions, my brothers and sisters, against the vision. How is it, my brothers and sisters, that all these schisms exist? But what has become in so many ways commonplace among the nations must be the illusion. Why do I say that? Think about it. Isaiah, in the 11th chapter, says it plainly. Messiah will not judge after what his eyes see nor what his ears hear. That must be an unusual statement. He said Messiah will not judge after what his eyes see and what his ears hear, meaning that he will not judge, he will not discern things after what is the common perspective of the status quo. He says, because he shall not judge after the common status quo, quote, by his words shall he expose every wicked, i.e. lawless, deceptive standard. That all the nations who apparently, according to Isaiah 11, are not prepared, might seek him. So over and over again in Scripture, I can tell you that over and over again in Scripture, we repetitively see the idea the Messiah comes, yes, the Messiah comes in such a manner that men have not expected. He comes at a time such as men have not expected. He comes to perform a task and a duty that most have not expected. He comes to pronounce, my brothers and sisters, in fact, a sense of consciousness, a sense of righteousness that most have not expected. In fact, again, when the scriptures talk about salvation by faith, remember what he said. If you really understand the context, Matthew 5:14-24, he said, your righteousness, your sense of even discerning what is the law and the prophets, must exceed that of your rulers. Why? He said, till heaven and earth pass away, not even the smallest letter of his law shall pass away till all shall be fulfilled. If all the rulers taught all that is divine word purely and completely, the divisions that we see, the 45,000 denominations we see in the world would not exist. What it means is that the rulers are hiding something. What it means, my brothers and sisters, there's a lot of words that's contained in the scriptures that are taken completely out of context. What it means, my brothers and sisters, is that, quite frankly, if your trust is ultimately unto the Most High himself, you must know that you cannot insult, blaspheme, disregard, disrespect his name with the belief that reverence for Yah coincides or is complicit with respect for all the what? Variant beliefs of this world? Most High told me long ago, if any man can believe the contradictions we see in this world, innate than hypocrisy we see in this world. We believe that's true to the will of Yah. We can never be disciples unto him. Quite frankly, anybody who still wants to uphold, as if it were wise, all the variant systems of man, innately has insulted the very name of the One Most High. Not only have they insulted the very name of the One Most High, my brothers and sisters. Anyone who can believe that this lawlessness, it wasn't necessary under peace. A native does not understand what it means when you talk about law and order. You don't have that kind of a consensus, my brothers and sisters, without a law. Those who understand this, looking at the uncertainty that's in this world, recognize then it as a grace, a gift, favor from the Most High. And amazingly enough, most of them consider it. The very word for grace is also a word in Hebrew that relates mercy and absolution. The grace of the Most High must then be a knowledge of his law. What did he say? He said, to a people who will not know his ways, they shall not enter into his rest. Look at Psalm 95. Look at Hebrews 3. Understand why it says in the Shabbat, the day if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. In the Shabbat, the very day the Most High consecrates. Actually mean, my brothers and sisters, are consecrated. In fact, they mean and are consecrated unto a pure, perfect knowledge of what is divine will. The very word Shabbat relates the concept of hear me, my brothers and sisters, completion, peace. Time the Most High has consecrated that the distractions of this world shall not be. Did you hear me? The distractions of this world shall not be in any way that which is to deter mankind from discerning his pure, perfect will. What it means then is that if men in their shallow mindedness deter any man not to discern what indeed is divine will and purpose, they've turned men against keeping the Shabbat as a time holy unto the Most High, not acceptable unto him at all. We were warned in Colossians, beware lest any man beguile you after the principles of the world, and not after the Messiah, perdee. For those of you who don't know what I mean by that, please, my website, hiddengospel.com. Early church origin, mutual expectation. Understand what it meant about the one who comes to cast out all the darkness, to expose all those who hid the truth from you, to reveal the light the world would obscure, to prove that so much what men call wisdom, to prove that so much what men call wisdom, my brothers and sisters, is just another variation of darkness where the truth, my brothers and sisters, under those panoramas, has not been allowed. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that it's utmost important we understand what it means when it says salvation by faith, because it's not after the hearkening to the variant misconceits of man. Purity and completion offers one choice. We are warned against falling victim to false prophets. Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things, bring all things to remembrance, prepare you for what is to come in the future. Everybody has a different expectation, my brothers and sisters. How can they say that they're all prepared? How can they say they're all prophets functioning truthfully after the Spirit of the Most High when a multitude of different contentious ideas must be a collective vanity? How can it be, my brothers and sisters, that men believe they walked after the Holy Spirit, all their pastors, priests, rabbis, elders, imams, whatever they call themselves, walked after the one Holy Spirit, with a different testimony? Simply not possible, my brothers and sisters. So he said, watch out for false prophets, because they cry, Lord, Lord, but not to perform or do. How about this? Fully what is the will of the Father? Why do you say, go forth and teach all nations everything? If everyone is pleased in their partialities, my brothers and sisters, that's not the rule of Yah. That's not the law of the Most High. In fact, my brothers and sisters, that's the law of the Most High broken. Every man exalting his own pieces and parts. Hasty conclusions, my brothers and sisters, resulting in arrogance and ignorance. And none of this, my brothers and sisters, can be salvation, peace. None of this, my brothers and sisters, can be what fully appeases Yah. So why does the scripture speak of Messiah over and over again as who? The one who comes to perform all things, to complete all things. It is because, my brothers and sisters, Messiah himself is also called Rishon Acharon. The first and the last, the beginning and the end. The one who comes to perform all the Most High declared from the beginning. To prove, my brothers and sisters, the Most High in all things is worthy to be praised. For he will perform all that is his word. Like I said, even though a whole world might be blind, even though a whole world might be deceived rather than perceptive, he said he will yet be true to all that he has spoken. It's going to be a big shock to this world, my brothers and sisters. I'm telling you now. All scripture relates again and again. It's going to be a huge shock to this world when men find out that their rulers had not prepared them. I said their rulers had not prepared them for the coming of the Savior. Think about it. the word from the beginning, how can they all be true to the initial foundation and there be so many divisions? It's simply not possible. How is it, my brothers and sisters, that we have so many differences of opinion? So many just presume that they know right from wrong. But nevertheless, you have so many different political, social, national, and pseudo-religious differing ideologies, differing opinions. And then oftentimes men, because they don't want to be singled out or raise up their head in the midst of a multitude of contentions, oftentimes men seek to just find coalescence in a mingle with all the varying differences. As soon as you say something that doesn't go along with the status quo, oftentimes men they raise their heads and become targets. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, whoever it is, I said whoever it is, who compromise the will of the Most High, of the one Most High after the ideals of many, can never be true to him. That is hypocrisy. And we are foretold, we are forewarned, and we were foretold with this warning. You shall not take the name of the Most High in vain. You swear by his name, you swear by his name to seek all his will and to perform all his will. It says you will not count blameless the man who does this. Scripture says either you seek his perfect will or he comes against you with the sword of his mouth in the judgment. And he said you will not know at what hour he should come upon you. Which gets into the topic that I wanted to speak about tonight. My brothers and sisters, so much prophecy relates again and again that most who have trusted in their rulers, and I tell you what your rulers are really about, they're not concerned about the truth, my brothers and sisters. I had to tell you like one told me, it's not about what the Bible says, he said, it's about them gaining the power or the credence to have a profession. Knowing, one pastor told me outright, hey, he's preaching paganism. But he said at the time, he said, I was the only one who knew it. No, no. My brother says, many others, I told him before I'm said and done, many others will know. I didn't say I'm the only one that knows that what they're teaching is paganism. I think it's the mention of that uncleanness that needs to be awakened to. Pastor told me, like I said, he said, if they're willing to buy it, they're willing to sell it. In other words, there are those who seek to be comforted at the plane of conscience in which they have discovered or have jaded themselves to want to consider comfortable. And there are those, my brothers and sisters, who will do just that. They will fatally flatter men to believe they are wise in their lack of wisdom. They make it a profession, my brothers and sisters. And you need to really think about this. If these people are willing to deny the Most High the kind of offering that he deserves of people, my brothers and sisters, restored in the knowledge of him, if they're willing to rob Yah himself, don't you realize, my brothers and sisters, they're full well willing to rob you too. Before I go any further, I'd like to look at a particular piece of scripture you might find interesting. It's in Isaiah in the 24th chapter. I said Isaiah the 24th chapter, 10th verse. It says, the city of chaos, city of some text called the city of confusion in your King James Version, is broken down. It's a prophecy of the appearing of Messiah. I'll tell you that now. City of chaos and confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up so that none may enter. There's an outcry in the street concerning the wine. All joy turns to gloom. The gaiety of the earth is banished. Desolation is left in the city. Some texts say simply the city is left in desolation. This gate is battered to ruins. Ancient cities oftentimes had gates around them, so you understand the concept. So thus it will be in the midst of the earth among the peoples. How about among in the midst of the land of the Gentiles? As the shaking of an olive tree, as the gleaning when the grape harvest is over. In other words, there will only be a few left. And those who remain, he says, they will raise their voices. They shout for joy. They cry out from the west. Let me repeat it. They raise their voices, they shout for joy, they cry out from the west concerning the majesty of the Most High. This case is talking about Messiah, my brothers and sisters. Therefore, he said they would glorify, honor the Most High. How about he who comes, as the scripture says, that he is Lord to the glory of Yah, his Father? How about the scripture that says, he comes, as men may know, from the rising sun to the west. There's none else, to be revered under sovereignty, peace, honor, harmony, life, but Yah. They raise their voice, they shout for joy, they cry out from the west. I'm looking at the NASB translation. NIV translation relates the same. NRSV relates the same. Translations that relate from the Dead Sea Scrolls all do. Perhaps it might be good that I go ahead and put this up in the chat. I think I might be able to paste this in. Let me go ahead and move and do that real swiftly. But I don't want to impede the flow of time. 24, Isaiah 24 and 14. Let's look at this verse, and let's look at the next immediately following. All right. They raise their voices, they shout for joy, they cry out from the west concerning the majesty of the Most High. Therefore they would glorify, the scripture says, they would glorify him in the east. The name of the Most High, one who bears then that name. Read Isaiah 49 and understand. One who is true to all that is the word of Yah, who comes to perform all the Most High's forespoken. It reveals the Holy One of Israel. They finally know what it is to reveal the Holy One of Israel in the islands of the sea. It says, from the ends of the earth, we hear songs. We need to prepare that scripture to, what is it, around 42:10 of Isaiah concerning the coming of Messiah. Perhaps I need to put all those in. It says, from the ends of the earth, we hear songs. Glory to the righteous one. But I say, some texts relate this way. Woe to me, woe to me. How about some texts say my leanness, or I find out I am lacking, I am lacking. Alas for me, for the treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very, very treacherously. Man, suddenly shocked, my brothers and sisters, to understand that he is at a loss for what is necessary. Did you hear me? At a loss for what is necessary to truly appease Yah. Isaiah 28 says, it will be a terror and a vexation for many to understand the report. The cloth, too short, warped, weak, insufficient for a garment. Meaning that the doctrines that men had believed, interwoven nature of the precepts, misses what is necessary, my brothers and sisters, to fully cover. The fact is their perceptions have been quite carnal. Isaiah 42nd chapter. Sing to the Most High a new song. It's praise the ends of the earth. You will go down to the sea and all that is in it. You islands and those who dwell on them. Let the wilderness and the cities lift up their voices. Sounds like Isaiah 25. First one city and then many. Look at settlements where Kedar inhabits. Compare the scriptures talking about the fall of Moab. Numbers 24, 14 through 17 through 19. Scriptures again, like I said, in Isaiah 24, going into 25. It says, listen to this. Did I put in, let me make sure I put in all of this. We'll work at it. Before I go to the 42:11. Sing to the Most High a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. East to west, west to east. At the 42:11, it says, let the desert, let the wilderness and its cities, or I'll tell you the word for wilderness and desert in the Hebrew are the same. Means where there is no so-called civilization, where man can be lost. How about confused by the terrain in which he lives, not the conscience in which he lives. Let the wilderness and city lift up the cities, lift up their voices. The settlements where Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Selah. Wow. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Mountains, my brothers and sisters, symbolic of nations. Selah. Isaiah 16 talks about a city called Selah. After it talks about the destruction of what is called Ar of Moab, Ker of Moab, city called Kir-Hares. Same scriptures in Isaiah 16, also in Jeremiah 48. You need to read all that from Jeremiah 48 to 51. Talks about the destruction of a city that did not listen when Messiah came to warn it as to what is to come. Warning them of the greater righteousness of Yah they must hearken to. Last evening's show, we went through Zephaniah 2:16 to 3 and 4, 3 and 5. They released the exact same scenario. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, I'm telling you now, remember Isaiah 42 is the scripture that comes starts up saying, behold my servant. Isaiah 42 and 1, behold my servant, my elect whom my soul delights. Put my spirit upon him, he should bring forth justice to the nation. The isle shall wait for his law. Matthew 12 and 18 says that is Yeshua. But yet, amazingly enough, from the 40th to the 41st to 42nd chapter of Isaiah, calls that one, the righteous one that is likened to the rising sun. How many understand, my brothers and sisters, then, Messiah, what he meant when he said in Revelation 22:16, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star, one who casts out all the darkness. There are those who want to say the morning star, I just put it to you this way, want to say the morning star is not the sun. The morning star, my brother and sister, speaking of, is a rising sun. Very much so like, it has to cast out all the darkness. That's like the sun and its rising. Revelation 7 and 2, I saw an angel like the rise in the rising of the sun. Isaiah 41, who is this righteous one that's like the rising sun, cast out all the darkness. Zechariah 3 and 8, 6 and 12, the word there for branch is also sunrise. Luke 1:78, day spring from on high, sunrise. One like the rising sun, cast out of the darkness. 2 Kefa, 2 Peter, 1:19-21, Messiah calls himself, or let's just say, in that case, the apostle Kefa, related him as the one called morning star. How many understand who bore that title? Who was the one, my brothers and sisters, they called the king who would expose all the misrule of all other kings? Revelation 16:12 calls him king of the east. East means the same thing as rising sun. So I want to say morning, the morning star, is, I hope you understand this, Venus. No. A morning star that is mentioned in Isaiah 41, that is mentioned in context of Revelation 22:16, is one who cast out all the darkness. When the morning star that is Venus arises in the early dawn, it doesn't arise, let's just say it looks like one of the brightest things in the sky in the early dawn in some seasons. You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, that even that appears as nothing, even to finally not even be seen at all. When the true brightness of the sun appears, inference, the bright morning star. Time to understand, my brothers and sisters. I'll even tell you in Isaiah 9th chapter, it says, those who dwell in darkness have seen a great light. The very word for that, that's there for great light, relates the same thing. A star that lights the dawn. It's time we understand, my brothers and sisters, who Messiah is saying that he is. When he says he's the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. Why he's called the King of Kings, who reproves all other kings. Why it is said unto him, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Because he declares righteousness, my brothers and sisters, transcending the misconceits of all the nations. Who's willing to hear? Utmost important, my brothers and sisters, that we do. It is because the nations have deceived the people, the rulers of the nations have deceived the people to believe the Messiah comes declaring a compromise. Even though the scripture says he comes declaring righteousness like a rod of iron, unflinching. Even though the scripture says he reproves all the nations, you think he can reprove all the nations after all the variances of the nations? Scripture says the gift of Yah, the light from above, is an invariant one. Look at Jacob, James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift, the grace that comes from the Most High, is an invariant light of truth. My brother and sister, the Most High is not destabilized after the misconceits of man. Those who are beguiled to believe so, simply because men have placed the multitude of their variances under a title, will simply, my brothers and sisters, not be prepared. I can only tell you that over and over again in the scriptures, I'm looking at the time that remains, repetitively, again and again in scripture. There's so much to be said about this. But in other words, what I'm telling you is that there's so much in contained in scripture that can be said about the topic that I speak of right now, that it would take many shows to relate it all. But trust me, there is a tremendous amount of abundant evidence of what I speak. I would tell you that 1 Thessalonians 5:2-4 tells us something rather shocking. And those who understand it realize that in other prophecies, this scenario that is painted, Messiah says, hey, well, hey, in 1 Thessalonians, the apostle shows that Messiah comes suddenly as a thief in the night. Messiah said the same thing. If you read Matthew 24:22, then 42, I'm reading out to 42-44. Read it all, my brothers and sisters. What is it? 24, 22? Yeah, 22, rough up in there. All right, but the 42, the 44th verse. Luke 12:34. Wow. Always so much to preach and teach in such a short time. Let me look at this. It's something I believe I might just have to make sure that I begin to tackle. That's actually 24 and 32, but really all that verbiage. Needs to be examined. And the entirety of the scenario that is painted. I would say about 24, 27 is probably a good place to start relative to the prophecies we've already looked at. after the 42 to 44th verse of Matthew, Luke 12:34, 39 and 40. Amidst those scriptures, Messiah places himself as one who comes suddenly, unexpectedly. That those who supposedly be the protectors and guardians of the house, guardians of the people then, are totally left without knowledge of what is to come. He says he comes as a thief in the night, 1 Thessalonians 5, 2-4. 2 Peter, in the third chapter, also says the same thing. He says he comes suddenly as a thief in the night. How many of my brothers is third chapter, 2 Peter? Speaks the same. It means he comes in a manner that the leaders had avoided ever preparing the people to understand. Let's look at the time that remains. Let's move to this rather swiftly. We can. 1 Thessalonians 5:2-4. And many look at the scriptures in the fourth chapter, just before this fifth, and try to attribute much of what's written there as rapture doctrine. Total farce. There is no rapture. How can people interpret the fourth chapter and say that has to do with rapture doctrine, which really was not what was there? It doesn't refer to a rapture at all. And then the fifth chapter talks about the scenario that relates to what suddenly happens at the city at which the Messiah appears. Granted a chance tonight, I'll show you that. Let's see, hiddengospel.com. Need to look at the article called Rapture Debunked to understand and see what the original text really has to say with regard to scriptures that most people find popular, found popularized at 1 Thessalonians 4:17, thinking it has to do with a rapture doctrine. No, my brothers and sisters, not at all. First Thessalonians 2-4. He says, how about 5:1? But the times and the seasons, brethren, when you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly, or should know perfectly well, that the day of the Most High, the day of the Lord, also cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall sell peace, say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction, cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, or you should not be in darkness concerning these things, that their day should overtake you as a thief. You should be the children of light. If they teach you the secret city prophecies, my brothers and sisters, if they didn't, they left you in darkness. You should be the children of the day and not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That's 5:2-4. Did you notice it says a sudden destruction in 5:3? Something certainly then, without question, to consider. How about Revelation, my brothers and sisters? He says he comes suddenly as a thief. Let's look at the book of Revelation. Let's see. Well, before that, how about, since we're going to make this in order, 2 Peter, they call it 3:10. Let's look at that one. That's another scripture that needs to be looked at. But the day of the Most High, the day of Messiah appears, it comes as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away. How about all false rules shall be exposed with a great noise? How about they put down great noise? I'm going to tell you now, that word for great noise is with a very powerful, majestic report, testimony that exposes the rulers who rule on high. and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. How about great rebuke? These scriptures, my brothers and sisters, actually are parallel to what we talked about on last night. In Isaiah 19, 1 through 5, Messiah comes with a powerful testimony that shall melt the social coalescence, the social fabric, of what many have believed, to prove it all to be upon faulty foundation. Shall melt with fervent heat. How about the great rebuke of his testimony? Same thing you find at Isaiah in the 30th chapter. And it says he comes with his glorious voice. They read round what? 3 and 30 and 20? Isaiah. Somebody's glorious voice. Fervent hot rebuke. Earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Meaning, not necessarily that the earth shall be destroyed, my brothers and sisters, but that the thoughts of men, the conceits of men, based upon a faulty foundation, shall be rebuked and utterly overthrown and destroyed. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, same thing said in Isaiah 19 when Messiah comes with a very powerful testimony from on high. You understand what manner of persons you ought to be in all holiness, all holy conversation and godliness. Say, looking for and hastening for the coming of the day of the Most High, wherein the heavens being on fire, those who rule, being under strong rebuke, shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt. How about their principles after which they deceive the people? Shall melt, there's that word again, with firm and fervent heat. In the islands to this day, we're talking about strong rebuke from the Most High, they use the word fire. And indeed, my brothers and sisters, it needs to be understood. Let me see if I can give myself a little bit more time. It looks like I'm going to have to do that. At least try to get through a large portion of this concept that I intended tonight. Okay. There we are. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, how many times the scriptures keep saying, relating the same concept again and again. And the scriptures relate in the book of Revelation that there's an absolute need that we seek the pure and perfect truth. How about Revelation 3 and 2? Revelation 3 and 2. Revelation 3 and 2 says, be watchful, strengthen. In other words, seek to be restored in. How about the unpolluted, unadulterated nature? Or what should be the things that will survive? In other words, what remains of the truth that you have, hold to it steadfast. Seek after the things which endure. Because the lie will perish. Hold on to things that remain. Because he knew, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, that so much of what is the truth that they were once given in the early church now were being persecuted unto the destruction of that remembrance. It was almost about to perish. And for this reason, it says, I've not found your works, your thoughts, your belief, your doctrines. I'm not perfect before Yah. That means the doctrines should be perfect, my brothers and sisters. Pure and completion is the only hope for peace. So it says, remember, therefore, what you once received, the truth you once had and heard. And hold fast. Repent. Return to it. But if you don't watch, you don't seek to guard the truth. You see, because of the pollutions and the confusion that will enter. So I will come upon thee as a thief. In other words, you'll be so blinded by the misconceits of those around you that you won't be prepared. I'll come upon thee as a thief. Suddenly, unexpectedly. And thou shalt not know what hour, even now my brother and sister, not even know what manner I will come upon thee. It's written again and again, my brothers and sisters. How is it that many have not discerned? I would tell you that in Matthew, Matthias, and in Luke, scriptures relate Messiah coming after the context of what the secret city prophecies relate. I'll get to that in a moment. I tell you to watch for him. Watch for what is to occur, because it will happen suddenly. Unexpectedly. Isaiah, in the 41st chapter, 25th verse, they put down by one who comes from them, they put down a translator from the north and from the rising sun. Translation for proper, translating the words as they should have been translated. North should have been translated, my brothers and sisters, one who comes suddenly, who was hid, like the rising sun. And said the princes, the rulers, should be trodden down like martyrs, the potter treads clay. In other words, my brothers and sisters, whatever has been rebellious against the people of Yah discerning things smoothly as they should, you remove every obstacle. How about Revelation, my brothers and sisters, in the 16th chapter? Again, I repeat this scripture over and over again because it is some of the most pivotal scripture in the whole Bible. If you understand the scenario, according to what is related concerning the coming of Messiah, and it proves it to be Latter-day prophecy. 16:12, and the sixth angel poured his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the waters dried up. How many times have we spoke of this? The way of the king, and there should be king of the east, not kings, might be prepared. The men might prepare for the coming of the king of the east. Men discerning that the way of their rulers is folly, beginning to understand that it's not trustworthy. What does it say in 16:15? After talking about the coming of the one called King of the East, who Messiah is, by the way. It said, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. He gathered them to a place which in the Hebrew tongue is called Armageddon. I told you before about how that place called Armageddon in Judges 4:4. I said Judges 4:4. It's called Harosheth of the Gentiles. Meaning the same thing as that place of destruction to end the confusion of the nations. Judges, 4th chapter. Here we are. Let's go back here a little bit. Judges 4:4. Okay, Harosheth. See, I've read it in your King James Version. Four and two. Yep, okay. That's the proper description. 4:4 is by Deborah. And the Most High sold them into the hand of Yabin, king of Canaan, and they reigned in Hazor, and the captain of those whose city was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. Well, when Israel fought against Sisera under prophetess Deborah, there's a need to go back and look at some of the ancient maps of the Bible lands. You find the place called Harosheth of the Gentiles. Was also called the Hills of Megiddo. Armageddon. Har meaning hill. Megiddon, Megiddo. Need to understand, my brothers and sisters, that this is figurative. As to that city the scriptures mention, we talked about on last evening. A city in which all the variant misconceits of all the nations are gathered. For the Most High might expose them all. In one place, and all nations should know thereafter. At the time, my brothers and sisters, of the perpetuity of the illusion has come to an end. Sixth chapter of Revelation, 12th verse, reading out to 7:2, reading out to 7:17, relates the same scenario over and over again. Isn't it time, my brothers and sisters? seeing the same scenario, painted before us, over and over again. You have to realize what's really, really going on. Like I said, the Secret City Prophecies, article called The Secret City Prophecies on my website, is imperative for anyone who will be complete in the knowledge of Yah. I didn't say everything you need to know is there, but it's a component that to be prepared, you cannot, I repeat, cannot be without. And it needs to be read prayerfully, because quite frankly, lest the Most High open the eyes, all that might be said, the mind still won't comprehend. It's the reason why the scripture says, woe to him who strives with his maker, strives against his maker. The brother says, the Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I reveal myself. He said, he makes requests for those who will hear his word, that he reveal himself. He didn't say, my brothers and sisters, those who are hard-hearted students would understand. And for this reason, the vast majority of humanity, my brothers and sisters, has eyes that are still yet shut. Read Yohanan, John 14, 15 through 17 and understand. He said, my brothers and sisters, he would show favor to those who love him and keep his commandments. He would show favor, reveal himself. Those who seek to keep his commandments. In other words, keep the commandments of Yah after the faith of Yeshua. Think about it. Many say they keep the commandments of Yah, but do they all agree as one in him? Big difference. Big difference. On last evening, somebody came into the chat constantly wanting to know what is the name of the Most High. As I said before, men should be wary, much more reverent, not to be so quick to want to just simply know the name without knowing principle and precept. People use a lot of different names they want to use for the Most High. Some want to use the name Yahweh, some Jehovah, some Yahuwah, Yahuwah. I've heard a lot of different names that I've heard people want to say, but I've said it before and I've said it again. What most people have trying to discern the name from the Tetragrammaton is exactly what it is. It's a Tetragrammaton. It's a four-letter extraction. I'm telling you now, there are other consonants in the name that are not there. What they're seeing is a four-letter extraction. It's not a word. It's going to be a shock to a lot of people to understand, but the day will come when they will. So if people have done some of everything they could imagine in their lack of understanding with the name that they have used and it has not brought them to one understanding, how do people think that they're saved from all misconceit just because they have a title they think they know? Most High must reveal his name, must reveal his word. He must reveal his precepts. I think about what was said under at the time of Samson. Mother and father asked the angel, who had the name of the Most High. I asked him his name, and the response was, why is it you ask my name? Some texts say that it is incomprehensible. Some texts say in that it is glorious. Some texts say that in that it is wonderful. There's a context of that needs to be understood. He said, do you ask my name? And you're not asked to know my conscience? Incomprehensible does not mean it's simply meant at the time. It says beyond your comprehension, beyond your consciousness state. How is it you ask my name? That you could denigrate it to your level of consciousness? Most High says he is the teacher, my brothers and sisters, men are the students. You ask my name and don't ask to understand my conscience and then claim to know me. In your ignorance, you can deceive yourself even to your own damnation. So you don't take his name in vain. You don't associate any man's misconceits and imaginations with his name, lest you shall be blamed, not sinless. That is a command. We must have inspiration from him. If you don't know who he is, when he says, I am the great I am that I am, it means you have to learn something. If some texts say wonderful, the word wonderful there relates to the idea about it's something above ordinary conscience, wonder, something some people wonder at. Don't catch on so quickly. Wonderful. Inspired. It only comes to understand by inspiration. That's what the word means that's there. Some say glorious. It says honorable. But honorable after the mind of Yah. He said, your thoughts have not been like his thoughts, and your ways have not like his, been like his ways. But he was, man was created to think after the mind of his creator, not after the mind of another. But he was telling them at the time that the level of consciousness which they had, as humanity, fallen. If you ask my name, don't ask my, ask no more about my conscience. All you can do is slander me. It's time people understand far, far better. Truly it is. Much more respect for the holy name than that. Well, looking at some of the concepts we talked about tonight, it looks like I may have enough time, just enough time to try to do some part of a job on the concepts we related tonight and what I wanted to lead up to. I said I wanted to look a little bit at Matthew. Matthew 24:27 might be a good place to start with this. Let's see if I can get through all a sufficient amount of this in the time that remains. Like I said, men have been taught all kind of errant scenarios as to how Messiah might appear. Because if men know the Messiah comes to expose the rulers, could the rulers have control over you? Matthew 24:27. I spoke a little bit about this last evening. Matthew 24:27. As the lightning, how about as the sun comes out of the east and shineth even unto the west? The word for lightning there is actually a word, astropi, but it actually relates to the same thing as sun. Sunlight, brilliance of light. As the light shines out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Didn't we see that at Isaiah 45? And they shall know him from the rising sun to the west, that there's none else but Yah. It relates, my brothers and sisters, the same context that the whole world, even those of the west who walked after the darkness of polytheism, shall come to understand that there's one king. We need to be much wiser. He said, 24:28, we talked about that last night in Isaiah 34, say, for wherever the carcass is, there were, the word should have been vultures. There shall the vultures be gathered. Last evening, we talked about a little bit, and we started going to that about Luke. And they asked him, where would it be? Wherever the, like it was in the days of Lot and Noah. In Luke 17. It goes on, and it says, talks about a wicked city. In Luke 18. It said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in earth? It talks about a wicked city. After which he shall avenge his servants. Same scenario. He said, wherever the carcass is, there will the vultures gather. Revelation 19 talks about that rebuke of Messiah called the word of Yah. He calls all the fowls of the heavens to take of the carcasses of captains and kings. Same scenario, my brothers and sisters. So Isaiah 34. Talk about what happens at the city. 24:29 said, immediately after the tribulation of those days. In other words, how about even to bring an end for the tribulation of these times of human resistance? It says, the sun should be dark and the moon should not give a light. Stars should fall from the heaven. The power of the universe should be shaken. Those who know the prophecies of Isaiah 11 through 14, particularly in this case, Isaiah 13, know that's the fall of Babylon and all the miscreant rulership of this earth. Look at the Isaiah 13th chapter and you will see all that connotation that is related there. Then shall they see that there shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven. In other words, exposing all the misconceits of the rulers. And then shall the tribes of the earth mourn. One scripture says, they shall see me as I am. Or the scripture says, they shall see him whom they have rejected. Sign of the Son of Man, the sign of his appearance, which ultimately is that city of destruction, my brothers and sisters, should be seen by all. It's a great message on high, like clouds, or a message of what is to come. They looked at from on high. And then shall the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man come with the clouds of heaven with a powerful testimony, with power and great glory. I spoke before how one scripture in, well, how about scriptures in Hebrews 12? It talks about a cloud of witness, cloud of testimony. Because they looked at clouds of testimony of what's happening on high and what is to be expected. Scripture talks about they're all baptized on the same cloud in 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter. All baptized on the same cloud. Talking about the Shekinah glory, talking about the same testimony. But did they relate to you the symbology of that, the metaphor? In your churches? They should have. You might not have been so easily tricked not to know what the scripture said would come to pass on earth. And he says, send his angel with a great sound of a trumpet. They should gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Did they tell you the word Shemayim, which is a word, my brothers and sisters, they have translated here as heaven? Sometimes Shemayim, my brothers and sisters, is related. Scripture talks about the first, second, and third heaven. Sometimes the Shemayim is sometimes related, my brothers and sisters, as the land, the expanse of what we call terra firma, the earth itself. Kind of like looking at the earth and looking from a high place and looking even toward the horizon. First heaven, second heaven, follow the air, if you will, and where the stars themselves reside. Third heaven is the place of the Father's throne. It means from one end of the earth to the other. Read Revelation 7 and understand. Ah, my brothers and sisters, they're playing games with the minds because they don't want you to see the Most High must establish a kingdom on this earth, meaning the present systems which all have taught men lie to keep them in bondage must all be exposed, and they're unrighteous that he might establish one kingdom over the whole earth. Well, I want you to keep looking. It talks about looking for this time. How shall it be? Notice what he said here. At 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, meaning all the false rule of the world over this world shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In other words, the words of the kingdom of Yah shall never pass away. Do you think the kingdom of Yah shall pass away? No. It's talking about the false rule over this earth shall pass away. But in that day, in that hour, he said, that day and that hour, no man knows, not even the angels of heaven, but the Father only. Here, remember that these scriptures say, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not my word shall not pass away. What about the 5th chapter of Matthew? Talking about the same thing. Don't let anybody trick you not to seek all the law and the prophets, as you won't be prepared. Because the scenario I'm painting here is in the law and the prophets. Again, we find the verse we saw in Luke 17. Here in Matthew 24:37, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Noah warned people for years before came the flood. Talking about the condition of depravity of human conscience. Tell a lot of people about the truth, they won't listen. Thoughts evil continually. And as the day, for in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. Noah was warning them, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. They knew not. In other words, it was totally unexpected to them what was to come until the flood came and took them all away. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. People preparing for everything else but what is to come and not even knowing it. What will come? Leaders would not teach them. The prophecy said in advance in Isaiah 41:21-42:4. just one place. It's much more clear and explicit. Keep reading, my brothers and sisters. Say that two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. How about one will escape, another leave, another not? Two will be grinded in the mill, one will be taken, one will be escaped, the other left. Watch, therefore, for you know not at what hour the Lord doth come. No, let's not talk about a rapture up into the sky, my brothers and sisters. Again, it says wherever the carcass, remember, wherever the carcass is, there where the vultures gather, that's talking about a place that shall happen. They asked him where. That's not up in the sky, wherever the carcass is. Carcasses are those who dwell on earth that are resistant in a time when the truth is revealed. That the world finally knows the Most High means business. But know this. So watch therefore, you know not what hour the Lord doth come. 24:43. But know this, that if the good man of the house, for one who's supposed to be protecting the house, supposed to be somebody protecting the people in it, had known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken into. Messiah comes, my brother, and says he's going to take back what belongs to him. Therefore, be also ready, for you know not at what hour. Such an hour as you think not, unexpectedly then, the Son of Man cometh. Who is that faithful and wise servant? Somebody's warning the people. The Lord has made him ruler, made ruler over his household. In other words, to give him one who has authority to give them meat, doctrine in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find him so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he'll make him ruler over all his goods. Who is it? Could that servant be the one who is called faithful and true? But if an evil servant should say in his heart, in other words, he doesn't serve the Most High, false prophet, doesn't teach everything he's supposed to, was commanded to do so, say him, he'll delay his coming. He should begin to smite his fellow servants. In other words, teach them lies that they eat and drink with the drunken, main unaware. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day. He looked not for him, come unexpected, an hour he is not aware of. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him as a poor with a portion with the hypocrites. They claimed to be true to Yah, but far from it. It was your weeping and gnashing of teeth. All my brothers and sisters, over and over again, the scriptures keeps painting the same scenario. Over and over and over again. Malachi 2:16. I said Malachi 2:16. Heavens, help us. NESB, say, I hate divorce. I hate when my people are turned away from my covenant, says the Most High, the Holy One of Israel. He despises him who covers his garments with wrong, or seeks to cover his sins with his robe, some texts say. Covers his violence, his iniquity within his garment, his robe, so-called priestly robe, says the Most High. Because remember, the Malachi 2:1 says this word is to the priests. Reprimanded them because they didn't teach the people the law that should have been placed upon the hearts. Say, take heed, your spirit, that you not do treacherously. Many texts, my brothers and sisters, said those who have even a residue of the spirit, even a residue, even a part of the spirit, will not deal treacherously. 2:15. He said he made his people one, and he who has a residue of the spirit knows the Most High wants one offering. Wherefore, he made the people to be one by one spirit, to seek a godly seed, a holy seed, true to him. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, lest none deal treacherous. It means he's going to expose all those then who will not be true to the will of one. He said, you weary me with your words, 2:17. In other words, you vexed, blasphemed, insulted the integrity of him as one, with the many of multitude of diverse doctrines, and that you say that everyone who does evil or after his own heart is good in the sight of the Most High, and he delights in him, or whereas the God, or the Holy One who judges after The text there, if they translate it right, after righteous judgments. The word for judgment there, even, my brothers and sisters, is a word that relates a judicial, righteous judgment. Yes, my brothers and sisters, a law. Say, behold, I'll send my messenger, one who's going to show the people that he means business, true to an absolute rule that he declared. He shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek, a messenger to herald the one whom you should be waiting for. So suddenly come to the temple, he exposes all the rulers. Because he is the messenger of the covenant that the rulers, in their diversity, can never preach. Who can abide the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? Did you notice the scripture says he shall come, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come. The word for suddenly is unexpectedly. Who can stand when he appears? He is like refiner's fire, like a full of soap. He exposes all the rulers, my brothers and sisters. 3 and 4 says he restores righteousness as of old in former years. I would tell you the word, even my brothers and sisters, in Revelation 22, last verses of the Bible. It says, behold, I come quickly. I would tell you that the Hebrew word, if you are there, well, they put it, most of you might be able to find it better in the easier in the Greek. But the word there says, we're talking about he comes, he who testified these says, things says surely, Revelation 22:20, says surely I come. They translated it quickly. The Hebrew word is, the Greek word is taku. Did you hear me? Look it up sometimes in a good Strong's Concordance. It says the word they translated I come quickly, the Greek word taku, means that he comes by surprise. Oh, yes, my brothers and sisters, meaning that he comes in a manner that those confused after a multitude of differing ideals do not expect. He comes with a testimony that men had not treasured. Think about it. If the people are looking for those who will teach them a testimony or comfort them in their lack of knowledge, there's a lot of truth that the rulers don't feel a need to preach. But the Most High sends prophets to speak what others would not. So at the end of the day, since the people are not prepared for how Messiah shall appear, everything catches them completely off guard. We talked before about Revelation 22. It says nobody is really welcome but those who will not add or take away from a word. That means they know that they must seek the Most High for the absolution of his testimony, seeking all his word, lacking nothing. He said the ones who are welcome, my brothers and sisters, seek to keep his commandments. He didn't say seek to abolish or disregard. Meaning that a world desirous to be justified or counted honorable after a multitude of differing ideals, many of my brothers and sisters who follow after such concepts were never found worthy to understand. Leaders have completely duped them. So, scriptures tell us, like I was going to look at more so. And I can just simply tell you, please read through what is related to the intro screen for this show. Look like I'm going to miss opportunity to relate all that. But please look at that very closely. I would tell you that a lot of words that are in the 52nd chapter of Isaiah need to be looked at the context of also what's said at the very beginning of the chapter. He says, they shall know my name in that day. They shall know me as I am then. Because the leaders of the people caused them to howl, to quarrel, to function contentiously after the pride of their own misconceits. He says, they shall hear the gospel, the word that is above all the nations. It'll be a glorious day when all hear the word.
90 seconds.
There might be peace. They translated some scriptures in the midst of the 52nd and the 53rd chapter. And it really means Messiah comes with a vision. And a revolutionary conscience beyond that of any other man, because he comes with a conscience that will overcome the whole world, expose all the misconceits of all the rulers. He put down things like he had no form of comeliness, but that's what the words really mean. He means to come not with a conscience like unto men. And then they talk about the idea about that same idea in the 53rd chapter, using the same words. It means, my brothers and sisters, that man is so heavily departed from the knowledge of the truth, and ignore the truth so long, then when that which comes, which is truly precious, testimony comes, which is truly precious, most not prepared to recognize its worth or its value. Instead of appreciating, my brothers, appreciating the testimony, they vastly depreciate it, or let's just say seek to, as if it was not worth or having any worthiness at all. Please understand, my brothers and sisters, what was prophesied. The time must come that man must understand. It's not going to be the word of Yah that will be counted beastly in the day that he exposes those who refuse to reason. Till we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Adam Yah, the Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Under his might and honor and praise always, hallelujah. And I thank you all for listening. I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. For he's told me these words are indeed very precious, but they're only for the most humblest souls.